The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are talking about players. Should you panic or should you stay calm? Let's go.
Jordan open. Chicago with the lead.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Everything's possible.
Back out to Allen. History twitter. Bang! Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York. We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination. It's the journey. Mamba out.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Hoopball. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. I'm always very happy to be joined by the co-host, the guru himself, Callum Mack. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It took a bit of effort to get that out. But look, I'm back. I guess you weren't quite warm from last week when I had to unfortunately take a week lapse, but
I got left in the cold, man. I was swimming in deep water, like trying to keep it alive. But I'm good. I'm glad to have you back, man.
I have a question. Were you panicking?
I was panicking. That is the question we're answering today. Is should we be panicking about these player? That was an excellent segue. Thank you, Callum. but basically, today's episode we are talking players who have not been performing up to expectations so far, and whether or not we think that the drop in their production is real, or if we think it's fake, or if it's somewhere in the middle. So it's sort of a buy low show, but not really. We're sort of talking about whether or not they are a buy low. If we think that they're going to be fine, maybe go out and try and trade for these guys. Or if you have these players, should you maybe wait for a couple of good games and then try and trade them based on their name value? So a little bit of a spin on the Bilo show today. And the first player we're going to be talking about, he was one of my guys going into this season and hasn't worked out so far, De'Aaron Fox. Talk to me. What's going on with De'Aaron Fox? Are we panicking, Cal?
Look, I probably would be panicking a bit. You know what? I'm panicking. I'm panicking, 100%.
Okay, why are you panicking?
His current rank on Yahoo is 191, and that's not reflective of what he's actually producing. So he's still putting up about 19 points, the 6 assists, which is very helpful, and 1.5 steals. So those are there, yes.
Yeah.
But the three throws is like what we thought it was. The field goal has been atrocious so far, under 40%.
Yeah.
You'd like to say they're both going to come up. They're obviously lower than what he did previously, and that is very badly affecting his current ranking. But even the points is pretty bad. Like I was hoping he'd be a 20-point scorer, I guess. Field goal and points go hand in hand. I'm panicking a bit because there's a lot of point guards in that rotation now. He's kind of sharing the ball a bit more. You got Davion and you got Halliburton. You also have Harrison Barnes, who's been killing it.
He's
getting more usage. He's getting
Michael
more
Jordan.
Shots, taking shots out of De'Aaron Fox's hand.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned overall.
Yeah, I am. I'm not panicking. I'm probably. Look, he was my guy this year because if you remember the end of last season, he was absolutely going off. I'm pretty sure you might need to fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure he led the league in fourth quarter points last season, or at least for the second half of last season. He was very clutch, very efficient, especially finishing at the rim. I think at the second half last year, he put up like 28 points a night, 7 assists, steal and a half. So for that reason, I was really high on him, especially in a punt free throw percentage build. we knew that the free throws were a cause for concern. We sort of, there was a glimmer of hope that that might get up closer to 80%. That's kind of not going to happen. We sort of know that now. But I always recommended not relying on that and not drafting him expecting that. So for that reason, I'm not panicking, because in most instances, I would have drafted De'Aaron Fox in a punt free throw percentage build. But I want to compare his numbers from last year. He basically is putting up one fewer shots, basically 18 shots field goal attempts versus 19 last year. So one fewer attempts per game. He's attempting 1.5 less free throws per game. And he's putting up basically one less assist per game. And that's the difference. The only difference in terms of this massive drop in ranking is the field goal percentage, and the free throw percentage has dropped even lower than what it was last year. So for that reason, I'm not panicking, because the attempts are still there. He's just not converting them. The last two seasons, he's been a 48% shooter from the field in both seasons, and the season before that, he was at 46%. So shooting at 39% like he is at the moment, I'm very confident that that's not going to stick. He's a very good player. He's one of the best finishers around the rim in the NBA, and right now it's just not going in. And I think there's a bit of weirdness going on in the NBA, sorry, in the Sacramento right now. I wouldn't be surprised if Luke Walton is fired, because he's a terrible coach. But yeah, I think that his talent will shine through and get there before anything crazy, like we start putting the ball in Davion Mitchell's hands over De'Aaron Fox or anything silly like that. So for that reason, I'm not panicking. It's not been ideal. I think you just got to wait it out, though. Don't be selling him at a low point.
Yeah, I'll say it's pretty much the 3-point attempted and the field. Like, he's shooting 20% from the 3-point line. And that's what's hurting him so much, because he's shooting about 4.5 and sinking one. That's the anomaly effect there as well, which is just really hurting. I think he will probably go on a bit of a hot stretch at some point, get hot from three, and his stats will be boasted up a fair bit, because that is the main fundamental reason what is dragging him down.
Yeah. It's just a huge difference. It's not a category that you sort of monitor the 3-point percentage. It is something that can swing multiple categories in terms of threes made, field goal percentage, points, and it can automatically boost your value. And especially early on in the season, I wouldn't be too worried about the ranking next to De'Aaron Fox's name. Just look at what he's actually putting up. And I think that's a big key for a lot of these players. The rankings at the moment are all silly. It's a small sample size. Turnovers and percentages and steals and things like that all have a massive influence on value right now. So just look at what they're actually putting up, rather than the ranking attached to their name. That would be my advice for a lot of these guys. Let's move on to the next guy. And are we panicking? Bit of a weird one, because he's not doing horrible, but are we panicking on Bam Adebayo? Your thoughts, Cal?
Look, I'll be the first to say that you were all over this, Mitch. You saw it coming in the preseason. You highlighted that he was not getting any assists.
Zero. Not zero, but I think he averaged less than 2 assists in the preseason.
Yeah. And for someone that put up 4.3 assists per game, that's the postseason. It was even better. It was 5.5 in the regular season. So even better. Crazy amount for a big man. And I had on my team, it was really beneficial. It was reliable. And now it's just dropped down so much. And for someone that you were taking as a second round pick, you really needed him to get you your 5 assists.
Yeah.
And for him now to drop down to 2.3 so far for the season, which is less than half, that really does hurt you. I mean, everything else pretty much is there. His blocks are a bit low. You would expect that to come back up to about 1 a game. So that obviously is also affecting his value. But I think it's just the assists.
Yeah.
He's really dropped down 1 or 2 ranks just from that huge hit. And look, you saw it first, so kudos to you.
Yeah, like it was something that I was worried about. And I think I'd mentioned it several times on Twitter that second round with all those big guys just worried me with him. We're not going to mention him, but Vucevic as well is another guy that I sort of mentioned as there's nothing but downside with these guys. And whilst he's not a bust or anything like that, I'm officially going to label him as I'm worried. I think that this is the band we're going to continue to see. I don't think those assists are coming back. Yes, the blocks are probably going to come back up to a game instead of 0.4 right now, and that will boost his ranking up, but he's not going to be a second round guy. So if I'm able to trade Bam for someone who I think will be a second round player, maybe like, who would I use? Julius Randle as maybe someone, or perhaps perhaps even a Miles Turner or something like that. Obviously, he's been playing really well. I think his value might be there a bit more, maybe not as many rebounds. But if I can get a solid second-round player for Bam, I definitely would be doing that based on where we drafted him and name recognition. But yeah, I think this is basically what we're going to be seeing from Bam, these averages right here.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it is a shame to see, but I guess that's what happened. You got Tyler Hero taking a lot more usage in terms of running the court. You got Kyle Lowry's new addition. So just in terms of them having the ball a lot more, this is Bam's been affected by it.
Yeah, he's the fourth playmaking option on this team behind Jimmy, Kyle Lowry, and now Tyler Hero as well. So definitely taking the toll with three less assists per game. So yes, we are worried about Bam, if you want to put a label on that. All right, let's get to everyone's favorite player right now. And yes, we were onto this one as well. Both of us were onto this one, but probably not to this extent. Michael Porter Jr. We're all wondering, what the hell are we doing? I guess the question is, how much are we panicking about Michael Porter Jr.? Because if I was someone who had him on my team, I would be panicking a fair bit. What are you doing with Michael Porter Jr., Cal?
I would be freaking the fuck out. I wouldn't even, if someone offers me a trade with Michael Porter Jr. right now, I'd be hard to sell one of my players because he has been looking that bad. And it's the lower back as well. It's the injury that he's had previously.
Yeah, that's concerning.
Out for long durations. I don't know. Maybe that's an excuse. It could be. But the Denver Nuggets want to win. They really do want to win.
Yeah.
And you got games where he had a 30% game, 28%, 28%. It's pretty shocking and pretty high volumes. And this is a guy that you drafted to beef up your field goal. That was his strongest category. He shot about 55%, which is huge. Definitely a carry. And he's been the complete polar opposite of that. And what comes to that, there's no points. He never got assists. His defensive stats weren't really there either. It was really just a field goal carry with some threes and rebounds, which he still is getting. He's getting the rebounds at least when he had minutes.
Yep.
But yeah, now he's injured and it's all looking pretty downhill.
Yeah, it's all pretty bleak for the Michael Porter Jr. managers out there. Look, I'm panicking. Yeah, he's not going to be the guy who we drafted in the 20s. That's just plain and simple. I never thought, we both never wanted to take him that high. We were worried about the increase in usage and that affecting his field goal percentage. His usage hasn't even increased. It's actually gone down a little bit. So obviously the breakout is not happening. We can rule that out straight away. However, he's not going to be this bad. He's not going to continue to shoot 35%, 36% from the field. Last year, he was a 54% field goal guy, shooting 44.5% from three. I think he's probably closer to 40% from three, so maybe he's more at 49, 50% overall. So in that way, he's a buy low, but he's a buy low really, really, really low. Don't buy low with someone who's like a third or fourth round player, because there's a very good chance that he won't be that good. He's more of like a 60, 70 ranked player, I would assume, if I'm trying to get some value there. And again, only if you need those threes, rebounds. I'm hoping that this field goal percentage comes up, but I am still a little bit concerned because of the injury. But we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. Hopefully you listened to us in the bus show and you weren't drafting him as high as he went. But I must say, I didn't see this coming, this level of drop-off coming.
I agree. I think the spectrum you put him in that 70s is probably where he fits. And he should have been drafted more in the 50s, and he's been disappointing.
Yeah.
That's probably my take on it.
He was around the 50th ranked player, if I remember correctly, last year, which is about sort of where I view him ending up before the season started. And with the disappointment we've seen so far, I've dropped him back a little bit, but I still expect him to get back to that. Because, again, like we did with Fox, if I compare his numbers in terms of attempts, he's averaging two fewer attempts per game. I think that also is affected by the injury game. So it's fairly close in terms of attempts. The rebounds, you said, are very similar. The steals are pretty similar as well. The blocks have dropped down. He was at 0.9 blocks per game last year. He's obviously only at 0.2 this year. But again, that's something that can swing around. The free throw percentage is horrible at 55%, but again, only one attempt, so very low sample size. It's really just that, the 20% three-point percentage compared to 44% last year. So he's basically halving his three-point percentage, which is greatly reducing his value. So I would be picturing him pretty much like he was last year, maybe with a slight decrease in field goal percentage is basically how I would be trying to evaluate Michael Porter. And if that fits your team, then maybe you can try and go and buy low and someone who, because I guarantee you, the owners of Michael Porter Jr. are panicking. I get them all the time tweeting at me, messaging me on Instagram. What do we do with Michael Porter Jr.? And so go out, throw a buy low out there and see if you can get him real cheap.
Yeah, I would say it's never a good idea to invest a lot of stock into someone who gets buffed a lot from your turnovers. That's kind of like one of his rankings. He's so good in it last season with only 1.3 that he got beefed up a fair bit. And that's never a good way to go down. And this is someone I'm looking at now. He was the 14th ranked player in punt assists. Yep. And that's why he was going so high. That's why people were reaching for him.
In the
but he really shouldn't have been going that high.
Yeah, there's too many other like things that he doesn't do well as well. So, as soon as one thing goes down, his value just plummets, which we did warn you guys about. Hate to say, I told you so. But we told you so. All right, let's move on to the next guy, Jaren Jackson Jr. What are we doing with Jaren Jackson Jr.? Are we panicking?
Look, I'm not completely panicking. I'll be honest. Okay. This was one of my guys, by the way. I was pretty keen on him. I voted for him, actually. I think it was most improved.
Yeah, I think you did. I remember that. Yeah.
So I thought he was due for a breakout season. In a lot of mock drafts, I did pick up Jaren Jackson Jr. because he's a pretty cool build with the 2 3-pointers, 2 blocks a game.
Yes. And that's what he's given you.
But he's been shooting terribly.
Yes.
Let's be honest. 36% from the field. That's what's been hurting him. That's why his ranking is so bad. He's still getting you blocks and threes. Like, they are still there. He's shooting really good from the free throw line. His rebounds will always hover around the six. It's never going to be impressive. So he's pretty much putting up what he should be. He's missing minutes like he always has with foul trouble, which is annoying. It's just that field goal. He really needs to sort that out. And I surely it will even out a bit. It's a small sample size. So I'm thinking it will come back up. So I'm not panicking here.
He's not like a good field goal percentage player, but he's not 36%. Like, he's more of like that 44, 45% sort of guy, which is obviously much better. And that will, again, improve his points per game and his threes per game as well. But even saying that, he's the 58th ranked player, even when he's shooting 36%. So if that just climbs up to 43, 44%, he's someone that could even beat his preseason ranking. So I'm definitely not panicking on Jaren Jackson Jr. He's played a lot more at center recently as well in the last couple of games, which I think is huge for his value. And you've seen that in some of the rebound totals. In his last few games, he's been getting 9, 8, 9 rebounds per game. So I actually think that there is a little bit of scope to see that come up a little bit more, which has always been a bit of a knock on Jaren Jackson Jr. Not that like we should really care, like, because he's still giving us good threes, good blocks, good free throw percentage as a big guy, low turnovers. The points are solid. I'm not too worried about Jaren Jackson Jr. And I don't think you should be either. If you can buy him low, if someone's panicking about their field goal percentage and they weren't expecting him to be this poor, I would float out a buy low and definitely see if I can take him off that manager's hands.
Good. Can I offer you a trade? If I'm offering, let's say, Mo Bamba for Jaren Jackson Jr., similar players.
100%. Give me Jaren.
Who would you prefer?
Give me Jaren 10 times out of 10.
Okay.
I hear that accept so quick. Like, bang, it's done. Yeah, because I'm a little worried about Bamba. He's not in this list.
37th ranked player. Anyway.
Yeah. Jonathan Isaac's still got to come back. Yeah, that's the thing for me. And I'm not sure how that's going to affect Mo Bamba moving forward. But yeah, I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is just a much safer option, personally. All right, let's move on to... what would your answer be before I move on?
I'll be keeping Jaren Jackson as well.
Yeah.
But as a Bamba owner right now, maybe I will flick that trade. Because they are similar players, and I feel like you could just upgrade sneakily in a few things. I'm a punt assist build for that team, so they both fit. It works well.
See how you go. I think that'd be a win if you could pull that off. All right, let's go on to the next player. And it is one of my anti-guys, I will say. And it is Russell Westbrook. Currently the 160th ranked player, averaging 19, 9, and 8.5 with a steal and a half. Those all sound like great numbers, but it's all the other stuff going on. What are we doing? Are we panicking with Russell Westbrook? What's he doing for the rest of the season?
I'm not panicking because he tends to do this. He did it last season, cool start. I like to think he heats it back up again because he finished so strong. And now we have news that LeBron will take a bit of time with the abdominal strain or something like that.
Yeah,
so
I think that was it.
he put up 17, 12, and 14 with three steals with LeBron out today. So those three categories are awesome. Yeah. It's just all those other categories that suck. But I'd like
yeah,
to
all
think
those other
Russell
four.
Westbrook,
that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like you have to take some of this into consideration.
Yeah, you did.
Like,
you should've.
Let's face it. He fits a certain build.
Yeah.
I kind of like pairing off like a Luka Doncic and just stocking those three categories and then try and, maybe jump on a couple of the other ones in the later rounds. Yeah. But something like that, I don't know. But if his fit does not fit your build, you should definitely be looking to move him on. He's pretty low right now. Maybe after a week or so with LeBron out.
If I'm in a roto league, I'm panicking, man. Like, don't have Russell Westbrook in a roto league. In a head-to-head league, yeah, you can deal with a lot better with punting and things like that. But this is what he's going to do. Like, I don't see anything of this changing, really. Like, he's going to put up... Yeah, I don't think he's going to put up a triple-double. He might get close to 20 points a game. The steal and a half is fine. But yeah, he's going to put up 5 turnovers or 4.5 turnovers. And yeah, he's going to put up 64% free throw percentage and 41% field goal. He's not going to put up many threes per game. So this is what he is. So I don't expect this to improve. I know last year there was that big second half, but he's on the Lakers now. Yes, and he's doing this all with LeBron James out right now. So yes, LeBron's out for a bit longer, but you'd expect LeBron to be coming back at some point this season. And so when he does, we've seen that the numbers with LeBron on the court be much worse than the numbers when he's off the court. So it's not like LeBron's going to step back into this team and, keep going, Russ. You keep doing your thing. That's not what's going to happen because it's LeBron's team. It's the Lakers, and he's running the show there. So I don't see that second half happening like last year. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I really just don't see it. I just think this guy, he's got too many holes, too many weaknesses in his game, and I'm just, too much of a headache for me.
Yeah, I'm on your side of the fence at this point. He looks like a bit too much of a headache this season. But yeah, look, it's a LeBron's team. It's definitely LeBron's team. You'd like to think that maybe LeBron gets injured. Maybe that's if you're a Westbrook owner, that's what you're hoping for. LeBron is old. It is possible. He's out now for about a week or so.
He's had a few
injuries. Maybe that's why you drafted him. But he really does hurt you a lot in so many categories. It's hard to say that the benefit's better than the reward.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next guy. He is someone who was a bit of a preseason hype guy. We were initially keen on him, and then the hype started getting a bit too far. Isaiah Stewart. Are we panicking on Isaiah Stewart?
I'm definitely panicking. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a bit worried. It's a weird team in Detroit. We know this guy was young. It's one of those teams where you're not going to be super surprised if they do decide to mix up some of their lineups. The blocks still have kind of been there. I guess that's one positive.
Yep.
The three throw percentage is kind of like why you were getting him. It's been a bit bad. You would expect that to come back up. But I'm still, it's just the usage is so bad. I mean, 8 points, 6 points, 5. You'd like to think he's getting some kind of tip in dunks and stuff like that. Cade Cunningham's only just gotten back. I don't know if you see it as a positive or a negative. He gets into foul trouble as well. So yeah, look, there are some negatives there. I think where he was being drafted in the stream of things was obviously it was going too high.
Yeah.
There was too much out there, too much positive stuff. We were beefing him up a bit too.
Yahoo
rankings.
Yeah.
But that's because he was ranked at so far outside and then he kind of got moved up to like the 60 range.
Yeah.
Where it just like 56 is what his preseason rank was. That's so he really jumped up so much and that was too much. Like that was definitely way too high for where he should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, we thought that he was the starting center. He is the starting center. We thought that they'd play a bit more Kelly Olynyk and Isaiah Stewart lineups combined. It looks like they're just kind of running Olynyk exclusively as the backup center, which is cutting into Stewart's minutes a bit more. They're kind of splitting those minutes, which I didn't necessarily, I thought he would at least get 28, 29 minutes a night. He's down at under 24. I'm panicking. Obviously, I agree. He went too high. You're not going to get the value of where you drafted him. However, I don't think he's a drop. He's still the 140th ranked player, which is still within, your standard league range. And I think as the season goes on and Detroit lose more games, they're going to continue to give their younger players more minutes. You're going to see less Trey Lyles, less of those other guys coming in. And players like Isaiah Stewart are going to get more minutes. So, if you need to make a cut because you're fighting in a competitive league and you have to, you know, just keep yourself alive, then yeah, maybe sure you can move on from Isaiah Stewart. But I think if you are in a position where you can hold on, I would encourage you to do so. Or if anyone gives you a value even close to where you drafted him in that like 50, 60, 70, top 80 range, I would be taking it personally. Would you agree with that kind of assessment, or are you a little bit lower than what I am?
Well, what number did you say? You said 80.
Yeah, I think anything top 80 I'm taking, and depending on the kind of player, even maybe someone, it would depend. But yeah, I think top 80.
I agree with that. I'd say top 80. I think that's kind of where, like, he could finish in the 80s, but right now, from what I'm seeing, I'm just kind of a bit worried that I wouldn't mind moving on to someone who is in the 80s that can give me a bit more confidence.
Yeah, for sure. Like, he could finish higher than that, but I think that the confidence is not there, and there's a risk that he is just the 150th ranked player, and they don't value him that way, and they're just kind of trying different things and stuff like that. But I do expect the minutes to come up as the season progresses. I do think that will happen. All right, let's move on. We've got two more guys that we want to get through. The second last guy, bit of a weird one this season. Not really sure what's going on, but it's Damian Lillard. What are we doing with Damian Lillard? Are we panicking, Callum?
I'm panicking a bit because he was my first round pick. And right now he's ranked 86th, which is a pretty big drop off from 6th ranked player. That's a whole of 80.
Yeah.
You can double check my math on that one. But yeah, pretty rough. It's all to do with his field goal. He can't shoot the ball. He can't get it in the net this season. And he's also not really attempting many free throws either. Like, he was attempting a lot of free throws last season as one of the best in that category in terms of volume and percentage.
Yeah, I think he
right
was
now
the
he's only
best.
Shooting three a game. So it's not like he's kind of like bombing them away from three, missing them, not really attacking as much. We know the free throw percentage in terms of the attempts made is a bit more rare to come by this season because of the changing in and with what the refs are officiating the game. And with that being said, he's taken a bit of a hit, just like James Harden has. Some players like DeMar DeRozan have been beefed up by it because he can still maintain it. So he's looking a lot better these days. But look, the steal stats never there. His turnover is actually pretty good for his standard, but it's the field goals hurting you so much. And it's just not that first round value that you really wanted.
Yeah.
So I'm panicking a bit. I'm not completely worried. I think he will bounce back, but I am a bit worried.
I'm panicking a bit, and I think he's probably not going to be the 6th ranked player, but if you drafted Damian Lillard, I'm hoping, especially in a head-to-head league, I'm hoping you were punting the field goal percentage category anyway. And if you were doing that, he's still giving you nearly 20 points, 2.5 threes, 85% from the line, eight assists. He was never a steals guy or a blocks guy or anything like that. So he's still giving you decent stats. And as soon as that field goal percentage does come around, now the only concern thing that I'm worried about is this abdominal injury or something that he says is not like aggravating, but there was a clip today where he made attempted a layup and then clutched at his stomach. And I don't know. I don't know how much that's affecting him or whether it's a thing or not, but it's slightly concerning that might be causing this. And if it lingers on for most of the season, it's going to affect him. But I still think that he's going to be, especially in a punt field goal percentage build, he's going to be a top, I want to say top 20 player. Probably, assuming the injury is not horrendous, he probably still will be a top sort of 15 player, I think. It'll come good, I believe. So I'm not panicking a whole lot, but I'm also, look, if I can get, I don't know, if I can get a Karl Anthony Towns or if I can get a Kevin Durant or even a Paul George or anything like that, then yeah, I would pull the trigger based on name value. But I've had a lot of questions with like Ja Morant or Damian Lillard or Miles Bridges or Damian Lillard. Like, I'm taking Dame every time over those players.
Yeah. Like, as am I. Like, it's obviously, it's a small sample size. It's just been pretty shocking. And even when you're punting the punt field goal build, he's actually ranked the 48th so far for the season. So you're like, yeah, he should jump up. He's due for it. You'd like to say he's been consistent for years. He'll be back there, but I'm just a little bit worried.
Yeah, the injury thing is the only thing that worries me. But I think you know, we've had a few abdominal injuries. Really, really weird season for abdominal injuries this year. I feel like we never used to see them, and now we've got like three right now. Really weird. Let's move on to the last guy here. He did have a decent game today, but we are still asking the question: Clint Capella, are we panicking? He's the 108th ranked player so far on the season. Are you panicking on Clint Capela, Cal?
I'm panicking because you and I were so high on him. We were telling everyone to get him.
We were.
He's just as good as Rudy. And he's really been letting us down.
He has.
It's sad to say, but he really has. He's still getting the rebounds. He's up to 11 a game now. But he was averaging about 14 or so last season. It was such a beefy kind of number. The three-point percentage is what it is. But it's just like the points as well has really been hurting you. The minutes in some games, like 23 minutes, 23 minutes here and there. Like it's happened a few times now. And that Atlanta lineup, look, it is deep. And maybe they will decide to test some of the small ball stuff, which is, you know, a risk. That definitely is a risk for this team. I'm worried a little bit. At this one, I definitely still hold on to him. He had a pretty good game today. Two blocks, two steals. With your 13 and 12. Well, pretty much is what he's been putting up in the previous season. So I'd hold on to him, but I'm still getting a little bit worried about him at this point.
Yeah, I think, look, we had that Achilles soreness in the preseason. I wasn't too worried about it. You know, I think he was still playing games anyway. They were being careful with his minutes. I think that if I just quickly check his game log, I think that they are starting to trend up. But in saying that, the other thing that is also affecting his ranking is, funnily enough, his field goal percentage. Yeah, you might say he's shooting 52%, but he was like a 60% kind of guy before that. So when you go from 60 to 52, it's actually a fair bit of a drop-off. And that, again, affects his points down under 10 points per game at the moment. So I think that and the rebounds dropping a little bit, the blocks dropping a little bit, drop his value down. But I think that those things are all very much in the realm of possibility. That's just going to be coming up a little bit in terms of small sample size, I think, at the moment. There's no change in his role. He was never a guy that really got 35 minutes a night in previous seasons. He was always hovering around that 30 minutes a night. And at 28 minutes, so far, when he was taking a bit slower at the start of the season, I'm still confident that his minutes are going to be the same as last year. Maybe you've got a bit of concern with the Hawks not playing well, that they want to mix things up. But in saying that as well, they got to the conference finals last year with this team. So you want to think that they're going to stick with it a little while longer. And I do think that they'll right the ship moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's due to come up. But maybe he's just not going to land as high as he was projected.
But keep in mind that the rankings are never going to look as good for Clint Capela. He's not going to be ranked the 42nd ranked player because of the free throw percentage. But obviously you were drafting him in a punt free throw percentage build. So keep that in mind. He is still giving you, you know, very good rebounds, decent blocks, low turnovers. The field goal percentage is still decent, but not excellent like it was. So he is still giving you the categories that you wanted, just not to the elite levels that we expected, but I think it's coming. I'm not panicking too much. If I could, I'd throw out maybe a sneaky little buy low if I could. But go low. Go someone sort of around that sort of 80 to 90 mark and see if you can snag him for on the cheap. All right, let's wrap it up there. Thank you, Cal, for the podcast, and thank you guys for listening. If you have any questions or anyone you want to discuss in terms of are you panicking on anyone, drop them down in the comments. Make sure you give the video big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Give us a 5-star rating over on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe everywhere on the podcast version and on YouTube, and we will catch you guys next time. Laters.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.